Lord, I know you see us as the coin that was of great price, that you went searching for each and every one of us. And in a way, we're the treasure hidden in the field. Lord, once we're in the kingdom, once we're born again, you are the pearl of great price. You are the treasure. In this field of the world, there is nothing better, nothing more precious, nothing more wonderful than your presence. Even King David, and under the covenant he lived in, he said he would rather give up the whole world, really, just to be in the court of God, to be in your presence, Lord. Lord, we're in a better covenant established on better promises. By the blood of Jesus, we can enter right into the Holy of Holies. It's amazing, amazing. In our spirit, we can come right in through that blood and approach you with boldness, it says. We can come to your throne. And thank God when we get there, we don't find judgment and grace. It says we find mercy because the blood already paid for the judgment. It says we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. There is none like you. There is none like you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Well, you can be seated. I hope you didn't have too much trouble finding a parking space and squeezing into the seats. Thank you, Lord. Please say after me, thank you, Jesus, for sending forth the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that I have the Holy Spirit. You did not leave me as an orphan. You sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be with me always. On my good days, on my bad days, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm so glad you're with me. You are my friend. You are my counselor. You are my standby. You are my helper. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. You notice I didn't bring a Bible or my phone up today. So if he doesn't lead, I'm just going to stand here for an hour and then we'll dismiss. Your walk with the Holy Spirit is about to change. Because it was to the Holy Spirit on earth that Jesus humbled himself. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself to become a man, to be found in fashion as a man, and then humbled himself to death every day because he didn't sin at all. He had to put his flesh on the death of the cross every day in order to do that. But then eventually humbled himself to the death of the cross itself. And he did it all as a man. If he did it as God at all, we are disqualified. And he is not our prototype. Well, that's amazing. that a man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man but born of God, had God's life in his spirit just like you. Just like me. Wearing fallen flesh just like ours. His spirit came from God, but his flesh came from Mary, which really means it was came to him from Adam. Born of God's spirit, but a man. Wearing fallen flesh, but Jesus humbled himself completely to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm seeing right now is Lazarus when the, you know, Jesus meets you where you are. God meets you where you are. I was thinking about the Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, they sent for Jesus because Lazarus, whom he loved, Jesus was close to this family. Lazarus, whom you love, is sick, but we know if you come, you can heal him. And that's true, isn't it? Now see, I've meditated that so many times, and I often wonder what the Lord thinks, how we approach him with our faith. Because what if Mary and Martha had the faith of the centurion? You don't need to come to our house. Lord, just speak the word only. I often wonder how often I ask too low in my approach to him. Can I say disappoints him? He loves me all the time. I disappointed my parents and they love me all the time. You understand what I'm saying? But there's times I disappointed them. Yet Jesus, he never, I noticed in that story, just that one story, you know, he didn't say, ask me to speak the word. Did he?
No.
He meets you where you are. He meets you where you are. But it's absolutely true. He knew that if he did go and pray for Lazarus, if he answered their prayer, Lazarus would be healed. But in that story, he says, you know, during the daylight, you have 12 hours roughly of day. And as long as it's daylight and you can see where you're going, you're not going to stumble. And we all understand that in the natural. Oh, I can see that rock. I'm not going to stumble over that rock right there. What he's telling them, though, he says, I'm also walking in the light. You can't see the light that I'm walking in. I'm not guessing about this. I'm walking in the light given to me by the Holy Spirit. And you're wanting me to come right now, but the Holy Spirit's saying no. He says, boys, I've got a light that I'm following. I'm not making a mistake here. I know it looks to you like I'm making a mistake. But I'm following the light. I'm just as sure in my walk as a person walking in daylight. There's not a chance I'm going to miss it. And so he met them where they were. He didn't try and correct them or get them to do something they didn't have faith for. But he had insight even beyond, because he said, this sickness is not unto death. The Holy Spirit. How did he know that? Now, Jesus of Nazareth, the man, how did he know that? This sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God. Yet Lazarus died, didn't he? Did he stay dead? No. So Jesus, even though he wasn't going to go right now, he knew that ultimately this sickness was not unto death. By the way, I like how Jesus speaks the end result. How many people would have accused him of being a false prophet when he said, this sickness is not unto death and Lazarus dies? Better not be doing his prophets any harm. Wait till it's over and then talk. It ain't over. Back to the message. I am so tired of Gary leading Gary. Now, I've done better over the years following him. There's so many things that I could talk about where I know I have. No, I still am. Like even this morning, not bringing a Bible up here. Because that's what he told me. But one of the most, because this has everything to do with presence. It's no coincidence that the Lord prompted Stacy to sing, "We Love Your Presence." Because the revival that's coming, I want to say it now. I like how Jim and Bronk have been saying it. Revival is now. Revival is now. So Jesus, he doesn't go and raise Lazarus. Why? Holy Spirit. You know, over in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas were going to go to Bithynia. And then they thought about going to Asia. But it says the Spirit suffered them not. It's nice King James, isn't it? No. Can you understand? No. If Jesus is our prototype, how many think he is? Come on, don't some of you? Oh, yeah. He is our prototype. We say that because of Hebrews chapter 12, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. If Jesus himself had to rely on the leadership of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need to rely on the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. So where I was saying I've fallen down, I could stand here and brag on myself and talk about the times that I've heard God and heard the Holy Spirit. I want to say stick with the Holy Spirit for today and followed the Holy Spirit and obeyed the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of things I could tell. I could take quite a bit of time. But there's also those areas where I've disobeyed. Now, here's what I'm about to tell you is worth you getting up and getting pretty and getting dressed and coming to church. I want to take up an offering right here before I give this. You know. You ready? God does not change his mind. And when he tells you to do something, you can do it. Or you can wait and do it next year. Or you can wait and do it 10 years from now. Or if the Lord tarries 20 years from now. See, that's why people fall out of prayer. Or one of the reasons why people fall out of prayer. Dave would tell us this all the time. You pray until you hear something that you don't like. I want you to do this. No. Yeah. And so you fall out of prayer because you don't want to hear it. So maybe, now don't ask me how I know this. I'll just blame it on Dave. Dave taught this. Or you already know how I know this. So maybe a month. Oh my God. Maybe 2 or 3 months you kind of fall out of, you just shun die at church and that's it, you know. As soon as you start back praying, it won't be 5 minutes. That same thing is going to come right back up in front of your face. And he did not forget. He did not change his mind. You're either going to do it, or this is pretty well where you're going to stay in your walk with him. Or you're going to start producing Ishmaels. Start doing stuff on your own. Which was what Alan was talking about this morning. If there's one area, and not if, there is one area that after a long time, see, the word koinonia is the word used, and I don't have my Bible, but right at the end of one of the epistles it says the fellowship, and the Greek is the koinonia, of the Holy Ghost be with you. Well, koinonia is a good word in the Greek. It doesn't mean like have acquaintance, you know, like, you know, have acquaintance. I know who that is over there. Yes, that's, you know, I know who that is. Koinonia is not like that. Koinonia is just like your best friend. It's the fellowship that you have on a daily basis. It should be koinonia between a husband and a wife, you know, when I can trust to tell my failings to, the one I can trust when I fail. Yeah. Or just not even that, the one that I trust because she's my friend. But the Holy Spirit is like that. And he told me many years ago that I should walk and talk with the Holy Spirit the same way I would walk and talk with Jesus if I was walking side by side with him. Because That's really the one of the primary purposes the Holy Spirit has come, because Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I've come to you, but I'm coming to you in a different way. Now, this Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's not going to speak on his own authority. In other words, he's not coming to be your Lord. What he hears, that's what he speaks. So the Holy Spirit, being omnipresent in heaven, on earth, everywhere all at once, he's constantly hearing everything that the Lord in heaven is saying. And if you give him opportunity, the Holy Spirit, he'll reveal to you what Jesus is saying to you, what the plan is for you today. Part of that plan for Gary Carpenter, and probably for you too, he said, I want you to walk and talk with the Holy Spirit just as if you were walking and talking with Jesus on a daily basis. Turn to him and ask him your questions. He'll answer you. See, because we talk about presence. There is a level of presence that we have not walked in, really, that we're pressing into that. But in a way, we are walking in the presence of God all the time, because God sent the Holy... He says, now, I have sent the Holy Spirit to be in your presence, since you have difficulty getting into mine. So the Holy Spirit is with you all the time. That's what Jesus was saying. And I know that's true now, you know, especially if you can pray in other tongues. Now, he's with people that don't speak with other tongues. But if you're a person, most likely if you're watching me, if you're a person that speaks in other tongues, for sure the Holy Spirit is present not only with you but in you. Because he is the one creating the language. You can't pray in tongues without the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying presence, so make sure you get it. I mean presence, not some theory. So we're walking in that level of presence all the time. Yes. Okay, so he keeps bringing this around. Maybe this is the year 2021 as I speak, and maybe I'd have to go, maybe 3 years ago, might be, when I think three, could be five now. One of the most needful but hurtful things that the Holy Spirit's ever had to say to me. He says, you have convinced me that you are not interested in intimacy. Dagger through the heart. Now, the Holy Spirit is love. He didn't tell me that to hurt me. He told me that to help me. Now, let me tell you, what he was not talking about was praying in other tongues. Because during that period of time that he's talking about, that span of years, I prayed more in tongues. I would just put it up with about anybody except Pastor Dave. I mean, you might have outprayed me. I doubt it. I doubt it. You might have. And it ain't bragging if it's so. I'm trying to make you aware, because I had to go back and, what do you mean? Because in my mind, and I'm in the Word a lot. I mean, I love the Word. I get lost in the Word. That's where my coffee goes cold, is when I get in the Word. I mean, hours go by. And I like praying in tongues. I really like that. I do not like fasting. I've done more of it last year than I've ever done before, and I'm doing it some this year, but I will be doing more. But see, when Dave would teach us on intimacy, he would say, praying in tongues is a revelation gift. If you want revelation knowledge, read your Word and pray in tongues. Fasting helps mortify the flesh, and it does. He says, but if you want presence, and we're going into a presence revival, if you want presence, you need to worship. And then he taught those eloquent series, and I can teach them. I've been through them so many times myself, which is really funny, because when the Lord... Yes, sir. I made the decision, I need to go listen to those again. And the Holy Spirit actually told me, I can't hardly believe he would tell me this, but he did. Don't listen to them again. You already know what's on there. That's avoiding again what you already know to do. Start doing it. So I've been pressing into worship. I don't. Yes, sir. There, I see. When I say yes, sir, I'm not trying to. But here, the leadership comes. I'll see the next picture and I know what he's talking about. So I've been pressing into it. I'm telling you, distractions and flesh and not only external circumstances, internal circumstances. Sue and I have to watch it. You know, it's like he's trying to stir up strife even between us, and we get along really well 99.99% of the time. It's just really so. But every kind of thing, and my flesh, suddenly 3 slices of chocolate cake just sound normal. I'm like Bronk now. When I go get the ribs, I want double toast. The toast is worse, you know, it's worse than the ribs, I think. But I have, God. Of course, we had a blow, you know, most of you are aware. We had quite a gut punch is what I call it. People grieve in different ways. For me, the only way I could really continue in prayer, or just continue life. I drug out some old movies that I have. You know, real spiritual edifying stuff. Terminator 2. Glory. All of the Bourne movies. Twister. Not this kind, you know. The movie, Twister. I'll tell you, when you watch those now, and at the time, they were probably, you know. Now, they're almost holy compared to what's on those movies today. Dear Lord. So the resistance. And Dave warned us about that. He says, when you start talking presence, who's coming? Whose presence? We're talking God, right? In all that he is. Well, God is love. So Dave, when he would teach on worship, he would simultaneously teach about that room that he called love, which is the last chamber to enter because God is love. And Dave himself, you know, would talk about, he said, that's the most heavily guarded door in all the universe. It's like there's a superabundance of devils surrounding that place. And there's like a banner over it that says, at all costs, none may enter here. Because when you go in there, if you get filled up with love, you're also filled up with God because God is love. So we watched the war that Dave went through. 3 sons. Who ever heard of losing 3 sons in 8 years when it's not wartime? Who ever heard of such a thing? The angel attack at the time, he didn't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing. You know, he could hear this angel choir. You remember that? Yeah. And at first they were singing gospel songs. And, let us gather at the river. And he asked Rosalie one time, he says, can you hear that music? Can you hear that singing? What music? What singing? It sounded like it's coming right out of the wall right here. She'd listen. Said, I don't think I'd be telling people you're hearing that. At all costs, none may enter here. Now, Dave got his foot in the door several times. Again, all I can do is follow the pictures. I hope this is making sense. Because right now, I remember I was sitting, raise your hand, I was sitting right about there during a conference. And, I was one behind. And these friends of mine that I had met in South Carolina were here, him and his wife. And the husband had been speaking in tongues for years. The wife that he married was from Connecticut, and nothing against Yankees, but, you know, really. But she was a very typical Yankee, very analytical, very, you know, nice lady. She says, I love the church that they were going to, where I ministered at the time. because there's no denying the love, you know. But I'll just put up a little fanaticism on tongues, just enjoy the love. And so she wasn't dead set against it, but, you know, she said everybody in that whole region had tried to get her filled with the Holy Ghost, and she never could. So we're talking about presence. So I happened to be sitting behind them. That I don't know why we're over there instead of there, but I can remember it. And worship was going on, you know. I don't remember who it was, but worship was going on. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere in the room changed. And the reason it changed is Dave had opened his door and walked into the auditorium. He just walked in. He's walking around that way. He wasn't even to the platform yet. He was walking around that way. And to hear my South Carolina friend tell it, he says, "Oh, that's the anointing was so thick in the room. I was so enjoying the anointing. But some rude lady was just speaking in tongues so loud I could hardly even tell what's going on. And I finally opened my eyes to see who it was, and it was my wife." My Yankee wife was down on her knees praying in other tongues with her hands raised up. And when she could talk in English, she just pointed Dave and go, "He's not of this world. He's not of this world." Thank God for our pastor. Now, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, He intends for that same presence to walk in the room whenever any of you and me walk in the room. Same Holy Spirit. Same gospel. Well, what's the difference between Dave's experience and my experience? I personally believe, and I think Dave taught, it's all those hours he spent in worship, praying, seeking the Lord. Because the Lord plainly says, if you seek me, you'll find me. But you got to seek me with your whole heart. Another time, again, I'll just go through this up in the, I see Jim Martin's office, so I know. And we were doing one of his conferences. We were at his conference up there several years ago. And most of the night services, when Dave would go, they'd reserve those for Dave because people were off work and they could come and had a bigger crowd. And besides, it's Dave. I always told Jim, I said, "Jim, I just came to watch. I don't have to minister. Just let Dave do them all." No. Well, one particular night, Dave was Dave. It was just a good Dave service, you know what I mean? And good revelation knowledge. He was funny. Prayed for the sick. Miracles happened. It was great. Of course, he was kind of tired at the end of it. So while Jim is kind of making announcements and telling about the next day, well, Dave went back to Jim's office. And he was only back there, I want to say, 5 to 10 minutes before we came back. But then Jim and I and Bronk, I think it was, and I... It's not a very big office. Boy, it was like that atmosphere. Even though the service had been great and there had been an atmosphere there, when we walked into Jim's office where Dave was, it was different. Suddenly there was a hush. There was a, you're afraid to talk. The presence was so strong. Dave tried to explain to us. He said, "You know that room, that door of love that I've been telling you about, that I've been trying to get into?" He says, "When I got back in here, I don't know why, but I was in there. First I saw the vault with an open crack, cracked open just a little bit, and there was light, just this incredible light coming out of there. But he says, somehow, after I come back to this office, I managed..." In the spirit, he's talking. There's no real door. I hope y'all know what I'm... "I was in there. And he said, boys, I couldn't handle it. I said, Lord, I love this, but if I stay here, I'm going to die. It's more than I can bear. He said, I can only stay in there for a minute or two, and then I had to come out." Well, we've got to grow up and mature to where we can handle that level of presence. See, now I'm reminded of one by Smith Wigglesworth in one of his books that I read, and he was doing a conference somewhere, it doesn't matter where. But he got challenged by, like, I think it was 7, 8, 9 other ministers, because they got, you know, they're hearing about this Smith Wigglesworth and how God uses him. So, well, let's just all go worship together. We got a little time in between services. So if I remember right, 8 or 9 of them and Smith go into this room to worship. And as they worshiped, the atmosphere in that room just kept getting thicker and thicker. He said some of them even cried out in repentance of things, you know. And they started leaving the room because they weren't accustomed to the rarefied atmosphere. See, Smith, if you'll allow me, had climbed that mountain many times. He was used, he was accustomed, can I say, the rarefied atmosphere at that level. He was used to it. They were not. And finally, sure enough, only person left in there was Smith, still praising God. Closest I ever came to anything like that was in Houston many years ago. We were having a conference down there, and I think it was a Kingdom Finance conference. I know you've heard this before. Too bad. I want to obey him no matter what. But it was a conference, and really had nothing. I mean, people came because I believe, if I remember right, it was on Kingdom Finances. Anyway, I wasn't expecting this. I don't know why it happened. It hasn't happened since. It never happened before. But all of a sudden, they had me go up to minister for some reason, and I mean, the presence of God saturated my body instantly, and I was like a drunk man. I could not stand up. Two men, I don't even know who they were. I know I could feel them. Two men are holding me up. I mean, if they let go, I'm going splat on the floor. My legs are like rubber. My whole body's like rubber. I'm trying to talk. You know what I mean? You know, I can't make words come out. Blib. You know. And you, blib. I mean, it was, I was like drunk. I couldn't raise my hand. They had people to be prayed for, and I'd go, blib. You know, I mean, just, somebody would take my hand, literally take my, was you there? Yeah, I couldn't put my hand on his knee. He put my hand on his knee, and Red got healed. And I probably said, blib. That's the way it was. And I don't know how many other people got healed. All I know is, you talk about not me. See, when you've had an experience like that, it's so not me. It's not Gary. See, it's no wonder Jesus is the Father in us. The Father in us is really the Holy Spirit in us. He's doing the work. One place it says the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. It's the Father's Spirit. But I know what I mean. So since then, I've had a lot of time to talk about that or think about that. And the Lord's asked me some good questions. He says, now, do you think when my presence came on Jesus, do you think he staggered around like a drunk man? And I went, no, I don't think so. I don't think he had to go, James, John, come hold me up. We're going to walk in such presence. But even our body's going to get accustomed to it. It's the Ark of the Covenant, which I see now. The Ark of the Covenant is such a type and shadow of that. The Ark was made out of gopher wood, which is just wood, you know. But they overlaid it with gold. See, you've been overlaid with the robe of righteousness. Yeah, but I know who I am. You're talking about the wood. I'm talking about the gold. See? But we are the Ark. And the presence. See, why did the Ark have the Ten Commandments on the inside of it? Because God, in this covenant, has written His law in your hearts and in your minds. It is in you. What else was in there? Aaron's rod that budded. Now, a rod used to be on a tree. A limb, but you cut it off the tree and you made a staff or something out of it. So that staff is dead as it can be, type of us before we got saved. But see, God made that staff to bud. That was in the ark. And one other thing was in there. The other thing that was in there, they had a pot, an omer, I think, of manna. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Basically, I am the manna. I am that I am. I'm everything that you will ever need. And I'm there every day. Glory to God. But see, the amazing thing about the ark, you look at it, that's made out of wood. Yeah, but it's covered in gold. Yeah, but it's just a box. Think about it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You see in the types and shadows here. Yeah, but on top of the box is something really important. There's something on the lid of it. What is that? That's the mercy seat where the blood was sprinkled. And it's a type and shadow of the one that the real one that's in heaven where the blood of the Lamb is still on that mercy seat. Angels. The way they made the ark, there's two angels. I'm sure they got it right in Raiders of the Lost Ark. They did a good job anyway. Those angels are neat looking because their wings just touch, but they're both looking at the mercy seat. We got angels to help us that we know very little about. But I do believe the prophet that said, there be more with us than be with them. So when he said that to me about intimacy, he didn't say the name Gary. He said, you have convinced me. I'm so ashamed that I convinced him that I am not interested in intimacy. See, I am the epitome of nerd boy. Remember Dave teaching us nerd boy? Knowledge. On his computer. Knowledge. You know, I won't go through it quite to the extent Dave did, but leaking pencil pack, remember, bedhead, green drink, on the computer, knowledge. Well, that's Gary. Revelation, knowledge. Pray in tongues. Get in the Word. Knowledge. That's the way that nerd boy was until one day they hired nerd girl. And he's knowledge. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he watches nerd girl. And she's going down the hallway. Leaking pencil pack, poodle skirt. She had on the same kind of little white socks, but one had a gold rim and one did not. Bedhead, green drink, knowledge. No, but he's watching her. And all of a sudden, nerd boy, after she passes, he puts his head out in the hall. And he watches her. And how did Dave do it? Cupid, draw back your bow. Remember? I can't sing like Dave. And he says, from that day forward, knowledge was not enough. He had to be in the presence of the one he loved. Well, that's where we are. God has been giving us knowledge. Okay. I know you've heard all of this before. What am I supposed to do? See, Smith Wigglesworth saw this. Now, he didn't prophesy the same way Dave did. But Smith Wigglesworth, before he died, talking with Lester Summerall, the Lord showed him the revivals that were coming to America. Smith died the same year I was born, 1947. But Smith saw the imminent healing revivals. He said, after World War II, there'd be a great wave of healing. Boy, did we see that. Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, Kenneth Hagin, Branham, on and on and on you could go. Oh, girls too. Amy Semple McPherson, Maria Woodworth Etter, Catherine Kuhlman. If you want to get blessed, just find a Catherine Kuhlman video and get an extra box of Kleenex because you're going to need it. Dear Lord, how that woman knew the Holy Ghost. But he saw that great healing revival before he died. Then he saw the charismatic renewal. He saw it's going to be in all the denominations. I see these people and they're lifting their hands and they're praising God. He's seeing the charismatic renewal that started in the Catholic Church and then swept through all of them practically. And then he saw the next revival. He said, I see stadiums and buildings and like civic centers filling up, and people are bringing notepads and Bibles and they're reading and writing and learning and the great knowledge. And that, of course, that's what we call the Word of Faith movement. And but I think we're right at the end of that one. And it's been good. We needed knowledge. We still need knowledge. But see, we're at the point now. It's not just Gary, nerd boy. Knowledge is not enough now. I have cried over that statement to the Lord. I said, I know it's true. I know I did it. Dave taught eloquently about worship, and I know it. I can teach it, but I never did it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I've been endeavoring, especially in the last, most of last year, because of the blueprint, because the blueprint is a fellowship blueprint. Have you know that? How many times does he say, come away with me, my beloved? That's from the Song of Songs. It's the Song of Solomon and the husband and the bride. We're the bride of Christ, and we've got to be with our love. You know, I've read that several times since those prophecies come out, and there's one episode, one part of it, where the groom on purpose hides. And she can't find him. Well, what does she do? What do you do? You seek. She started looking for him. She searched all through the house. She searched in the yard. She searched in the village. She started asking help. I can't find my beloved. I have to be in the presence of my beloved. I'm not saying it exactly the way, but, you know. And just saying, oh, I know he still loves me was not good enough. No, I have to find him. Because I have to be with him. See, and that's, I'm trying. So my prayer back to the Holy Spirit, if he can talk to me, I can talk to him. I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. Now, I'm going to prove to you, I am very interested in intimacy. Well, ever since I've made that commitment, that's when all hell broke loose again. Reminds me of back when we first started trying to break into long times of tongues, all hell broke. The devil's been trying to get us away from the prayer center for a quarter century, and we're still here. And where would we go, dear Lord? A prophecy came through Bronk, the most recent one. I've only got to hear it one time. And it's, as always, if you don't know who Bronk is, that's Pastor Bronk Flint, who is pastor of the prayer center in Immokalee, Florida. And there's a lot of, it's great. It's a kind of a long one. But in it, this part jumped out at me. It says, everything you did in the blueprint in 2020, do at least that in 2021. So he's talking about the prayer time. He's talking about the worship time. He's talking about all the instructions that he gave us in 2020. We need to keep doing at least that in 2021. Well, all of these gut shots are designed to get you to stop. I'm just saying, there's been so many things. And you can always tell the purpose of a gut shot. Do you know what I mean by gut shot? You know, you can always tell what is your tendency. What's the natural reaction? I don't want to go to prayer today. Maybe I'll go later. I don't want to go today. So-and-so invited us to lunch. I don't want to be around people right now. You could get in the Word. Where's Terminator? I know I got that DVD here somewhere. So you can tell. Well, if the enemy is doing what he does to try and get us to stop, what if we just double down? See? What if we just double down? And I'm not saying open the prayer or open the church up twice as much or anything. Somebody in a different authority than me hears those things. But I'm talking about my personal life. And especially I'm going to emphasize right now the two things. I think this is safe. Now, in the blueprint for 2020, the Holy Spirit talked about everything. Really, it's the Lord talk. Fast, what I mean is the word, fasting, worship, prayer, whatever I left out. He talked about everything. But if I was going to categorize how much he talked about everything, worship and praying in tongues, I think, were the two top things in there. Because every time he says, come away with me, that's worship. So I'm really, myself, I'm doubling down. I can see that I'm scaring the enemy, and I'm glad about that. I can see that worship terrifies him. Yes, sir. I saw it again. Okay. Thank you. He even gave me the name. Good. There's a video that I love, and it's a worship video. It's got Paul Wilbur in it. How many know who Paul Wilbur is? I love Paul. And he's doing the song together with another man, Brandon Roberson. Believe it or not, got the same last name as our pastor. And they do this song together, but right at the beginning of it, Paul Wilbur does a little teaching at like 5 minutes. And he starts it off saying, you got to have a little Hebrew. You know, let me teach you just a little Hebrew. And forgive me, I already know my pronunciation is not going to be good. But he says the Hebrew word for worship is, I think I can say, shaka. You got to have a little phlegm in there. Shaka. Shaka. I mean, really, the way he does, it's not shaka like I do in Pottawatomie County. It's shaka. It's got some phlegm in there. A lot of Hebrew is like that. But he says originally Hebrew is a picture language. He says every word has a picture with it. And the picture for shaka is much like a reed that's been bowed over, you know, a tall reed by a pond, but it's one that's been bowed over. He says it's got to be something bowed over. Because, and it really struck me when I heard this, he says, because when you're in the presence of the king, the one that you love, the object of your affection is directly in front of you, and he is God, you are going to humble yourself. You are going to bow. And he says, whether we physically bow in here, it doesn't matter, but when we worship him, we are doing shaka, and we're bowing before him. Now, see, when I heard that, it reminded me of what that man of God said to me. And he came through a man, but it was God speaking directly to me. Right about the same time that the Lord was talking. Well, it was shortly after the Lord told me that I'd convinced him I was not interested in intimacy. So when I heard that, humble yourself. Worship is humbling. I never had quite put that together, but it is. I said, oh my goodness, no wonder the Lord told Gary, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself till you can't humble yourself anymore. And then humble yourself some more. Well, humbling yourself is more than just worship. Humbling has a lot to do with obedience. You know, Jesus humbled himself so he could obey. See, Dave, again, he says in the beginning you might need a CD, music of some kind. And Dave, he loved it. He says, it's good. If you're breaking into worship, put you on a CD, you know. God's all about, where, you know, Satan was the worship leader in heaven. I mean, Lucifer was before he became Satan. But he says, you know, I'm pretty sure that Paul and Silas did not have a CD player with them when they were in prison. He says, you've got to learn how to worship without any extra accompaniment, any external help. See, we all know that story, love that story. Here's Paul and Silas in the stocks. They've been beaten, their backs are bloody. And at midnight, they lifted their voices. They worshiped and they sang hymns. And they didn't do it quietly either. Said the whole prison heard them. I tell you who else heard them. God heard them. And here comes an earthquake that not only opens all the cell doors, you read it. It says all the shackles fell off their hands. That's more than a natural earthquake there. So Dave says, no, it's all right to start out. It's okay to have music. And Sue knows in the house. There's been more worship music, and I'm trying to break into that. And I've been breaking into it some. But, boy, trying to do it without music. Like Dave talks about, I don't have to listen to it again. I already know what it says. When it seems as dry as cracker juice, and every word of worship that you utter unto God goes flat, splat on the floor like a pancake. And you want to have a spiritual spatula where you can scoop up those words and flip them back up to God. You know, he says, and there's no presence at all. It seems so dry. And the enemy shouting in one ear, you're only doing this because you know he'll give you stuff. If you worship him, he'll give you stuff, you know. No, I said, I know he'll give me stuff, but that's not why I'm doing this. Y'all remember all of those wonderful things? Man, that dry as cracker juice. He says, the books won't help you. If you go by the books on worship, they always say, well, you haven't broken through yet. But he said, later on, the Holy Spirit showed him, that's not true. You are actually doing more spiritual work. You were moving, how many? You were moving 2 metric tons of flesh. You were moving it out of the way so you can approach God. He says, don't you let those dry times worry you at all. Okay, one other one. And I'll quit maybe. Dutch Sheets. I don't know if you know who Dutch is. I love Dutch. Really balanced, really good guy. In one of his books, he writes a story about talking about seeking God, trying to find God. Because Jesus said, if you seek, you'll find, right? So Dutch has two daughters. I think they're grown now. But when they were little, I think they're 2 years apart. So when they were like 5 and 7, of course, little kids that age, they like to play hide and seek. Said, okay. So, you know, now if Dutch wanted to, could he hide probably from them? Sure. But see, he wanted to be found. So he said, usually what I'd do, I'd just make sure there was a blanket in the room. And I'd go find a spot over by the couch and I'd just cover myself with a blanket. I figured they could find me pretty easy there. And here they go. They're looking for him. He says, if they didn't find me quick enough, I'd make some little noises to help them. That here they'd come and they'd be so surprised and so glad, we found you. And of course, he would go along with it. Oh, you did so good. But he said, the truth of it is, I wanted to be found more than they wanted to find. He said, that's where your Heavenly Father is. If it seems like he's hiding, listen, he's over in the corner. He's got a blanket over him. If you listen, he's making some little noises. Because he wants you to find him. But seek him. Don't stop. Seek and keep on seeking. You'll find him. So let's double down on the 2020 prophecies. Let's double down. Let's come away with him. I got a feeling. It's more than a feeling. I got a knowing. His presence is the pearl of great price. When we carry that treasure in our earthen vessels in a way we've not carried it until now. All the riches in the world wouldn't buy it from you. Because it's the most precious thing there is. His presence. Just in case you're watching this video today and you've never given your life to the Lord, you're not watching by accident. You say, well, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure. Jesus is my Lord. Let me preach the gospel to you real quick. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to earth and he lived a sin-free life, never a single sin. And that's so he could be the spotless lamb and die in the place of us sinners. We all deserve to be on that cross, not him. But the innocent one loves you so much. He said, I'll go to the cross. I'll die in your place. If you'll believe me, if you'll receive me, you can go free because I took your punishment. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that he's your Lord, you shall be saved. Now we're all going to join in this prayer with you. It won't hurt us. As far as I know, looking around, I know most everybody here. They're already born again. But let's join in. There's somebody that's going to get saved today. Just repeat this after me. Say, Father, I know Jesus is your Son. I know you raised him from the dead. I understand now he died in my place. Lord, forgive me all of my sins. I am so sorry. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a new person. Lord, I know you're alive. And from this moment forward, you are the Lord of my life. And I thank you that I'm now born again. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's the most important thing that there is. Then he says that he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So just let's all pray this. Say, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Where I can't walk in a room without splashing over on somebody. Father, I receive your Holy Spirit. Just like in the book of Acts, I expect to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives me the utterance. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you need prayer today, we're going to go ahead and have you come up for prayer. Services have been getting shorter. I pray the anointing is getting stronger. We'll see. I really appreciate him coming through. He always does, you know. He always does. Soon the mission. Soon and very soon, you'll hardly recognize the services that happen here and elsewhere because they will not be as man directs. They will be as the Holy Spirit directs. There'll be Jesus meetings where the same Jesus did what he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The same Jesus will do it now through us. There are coming, because he has spoken it already, there are coming times of his presence so thick it'll be difficult to walk. It'll be difficult to even exit the building. So, whatever we did in 2020, let's do at least that in 2021. This is no time to back off, no time to slack up. Let us press on. Let us press on. We're about to see the greatest revival the eyes of man have ever beheld. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you really are dismissed this time.